I got a little beef with that boy. Saw some of the stuff that he said about me. So he's once I get back on Twitter in the off season, I got a little beef with that boy. Coming after you, Nagler. 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 Nagler.
Joining me here, Newcastle's the Nagler, my first ever guest, let's face it, probably my last ever guest, Mr. Greg Jennings. Greg, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I am awake on this fine Friday afternoon. So, bye week for the Packers, but obviously you're kind of getting back into the groove this week with practice the last couple days. You know, I know you talked to the media earlier this week and said you could have played last week. Is that true? Were you good to go as early as the game against the Lions?
Yeah. If needed, I would have been able to suit up and go. Obviously, that wasn't the case, which my knee probably says thank you. And my body in general just says thank you. But no, yeah, that was definitely the case. If that had been a playoff game, I would have definitely suited up and gave it a spin, but it wasn't, so I didn't have to, and got more time to rest and recover.
I don't want to spend too much time on the knee, because I know you're you know, you got lots to do, we got lots to cover. But one quote that you gave that I saw in the Associated Press article, I think it was almost directly after you came back to practice, you said, "Right now my knee is as stable as it's going to be, and it's been as stable as it's going to get for the last 2 weeks now." Are you at a point with the injury where there really can't be that much more done with it until the off season, and you're kind of playing through something, or are you as good to go as ever?
No, it's I don't see anything that's going to be needing to take place in off season at any time. What I meant by that was just the fact that my knee is as stable as it's ever been. The docs have looked at it, and in comparison to my right knee, it's just as stable as my right knee. And now all it is being able to trust and mentally overcome the mindset of, like I said, just trusting the knee that it's going to do everything that I wanted to do and that it has done in the past.
Excellent. Well, you can understand Packer fans are crazy nervous for every little bit of morsel of information they can get. Everybody wants to see you out there again in the playoffs. You mentioned the Detroit game, being able to go if called upon. It wasn't necessary. And obviously it wasn't necessary because Matt Flynn is out there throwing for 6 touchdowns. Were you a little disappointed not to be out there, you know, for his quasi coming out party?
No, not at all. Not at all. It was exciting to be able to take it all in and watch it from the sideline. Would I like to be out there? Yeah, of course. And I think everyone could say that. But no, we know the type of player Matt can be and what he brings to the table. And it was really fun watching it. And it was expected. It wasn't quite expected to break and shatter records. But it was expected for him to go out there and perform at a high level so that we can get the win.
You've gone from, you know, the new young rookie, you know, with Brett Favre at the helm, and then the transition to Aaron, and now you're kind of the elder statesman in the receiving core, along with Donald, obviously, but you're starting to see younger guys come along. How do you view your leadership role when you look at guys like Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb and any of the young guys on the team that, you know, we know Ted Thompson likes to keep in large supply from year to year? Is that something you take pride in? Is that something you try and lead by example, or are you more of a vocal locker room guy?
It's more definitely leading by example. This is a copycat league, and guys are going to watch what other guys are doing, and teams are going to watch what other teams are doing. And in the case of being a leader, I think it's taken more seriously if they can watch and see that, yeah, that guy is doing it the right way. And they have something to kind of model their work ethic at after. And in the case of the young guys coming in, obviously we've had driver sitting in that front seat driving that vehicle all of my 6 years, and of course all of their years. So we've always had a great example, and it starts from the top of the organization all the way down.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Be Great. Anyone who follows you on Twitter is familiar with your mantra, if you will. It's a very simple yet extremely powerful message. Why exactly did that phrase speak to you, and what does it mean to you?
Number one, it can relate to, anyone can relate to it. Any background, ethnicity, it doesn't matter what language you speak, who you are, you can relate to Be Great. It's really all about what are you doing to be great, and what we try to do and what I try to do with the social media outlet is just encourage people to be great, and that every day is a great day to accomplish being great, regardless of what obstacle may present itself, what situation you may encounter, what injury you may have to overcome. It really doesn't matter. If you're willing to put forth the effort, the time, and you have a passion about whatever it is you're engaged in, then you're willing to be successful, and ultimately you're willing to be great.
Do you take that into your work with your foundation? I know you work with communities both in Michigan and Wisconsin, focusing on education for young people. And I know you recently spoke to St. Marcus in Milwaukee, a school there. And I also understand you have a trip to Africa in the works in the spring. Can you share some of what you're working on with the foundation?
What we're doing at the Greg James Foundation is we're geared toward youth and education. And so a lot of my endeavors consist of working with youth that aspire to be great, aspire to empower themselves. And that's what we try to do at the Greg James Foundation. We try to find innovative ways to create those leveraging points and create the segue of allowing kids to know that it doesn't take them to receive materialistic things. It doesn't take for them to, have to go and be a professional athlete to empower themselves. They can reopen a book, and they can actually start empowering themselves on their own. And we're just trying to help implement different ways to helping kids accomplish that for themselves.
Well, it's absolutely it's totally commendable and absolutely wonderful job work that you're doing there. We'll definitely throw up the link on the website along with this podcast. You mentioned social media a little earlier. I did ask a couple of my Twitter followers if they had any questions for you, and I got a large number of responses. I just want to hit you with a few of them. Mark asks, who is the best cornerback you have ever faced?
That's a question I get asked quite frequently, and I honestly, this may sound like I'm being a little biased, which I am a little bit, but it's really true. But I go against one of the best every day in practice, and it's not just because he's one of the best athletes and he's one the best at the position, but he may be the smartest player that I've ever been around, and just the knowledge that he has and the to learn on the fly with Charles Woodson, it's remarkable.
Andrew asks, what's it like watching Jordy Nelson grow as a player like he has this year?
Boy, it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch. Anytime you can watch a guy at your position, within your room, within your unit, thrive as though Jordy doesn't kind of blossom right in front of your eyes. It's kind of jaw-dropping at for some people, but in our room, it's kind of expected. You know, Jordy has come a long way. He's put in the time. And he's done it for himself. It isn't anything that I've done or Drive has done. It's a culmination of things, but ultimately he has to prepare for himself. He has to work at it himself, and he has to deliver for himself. So we can't take credit for any of that. What Jordy has done is strictly and solely due to his work and his time that he's invested and put in, and he's paying dividends for him.
Yeah, that reminded me of something else I wanted to ask you. How much individual study do you go about when you're looking at opposing cornerbacks? Bob McGinn wrote a great article on you with you earlier this year. I believe it was like right before the season started. And it really went into detail about everything from your footwork to how you set guys up and things like that. How much study do you, you know, dedicate to, say, a particular corner that you're probably going to face that week to, you know, the different looks that you expect the defense to give you, things like that?
Without going into a whole lot of specifics, I dedicate a lot of time in it. This is my livelihood. This is my profession. So it's my job to go out there and be better than my opponent, and I take pride in that. And the only way that I can continue to do that on a high level is to make sure that I know what my opponent is proposing. And with saying that, you know, I go out there and I watch their flaws, I watch their strengths, and knowing, bearing in mind that they're watching the same things with when it comes to myself. So it's a lot of self-scout that goes into it, but at the same time, you know, you have to kind of dissect your opponent that you're going up against, and then obviously the guys around them and how they can help improve that corner's play. So it's a lot that goes into it, but it's time that we have to dedicate if we're wanting to be great.
Talking with Greg Jennings, Packers wide receiver here at Newcastle's with Nagler. Greg, you're an absolute legend for joining me today. I just got one more very serious question for you. Whenever you hear that Mike Tirico spot when he says, "Unbelievable," do you think, yeah, I was the one catching the pass when he said that?
Oh, man, that is interesting. Yeah, you know, it is. But, you know, when you hear it, you know someone has made an outstanding play. And he takes pride in making that phrase and that statement. And, you know, we take pride in what we do and what we put out there on the field. So when he makes that statement and I'm on the other end of that making that catch, I'm looking like, that was pretty good, but I'm probably also looking like, man, it didn't have to be that hard.
Wonderful. Excellent. All right, Greg, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck in the playoffs and hopefully in the Super Bowl.
All right, appreciate it.
I got a little beef with that boy. Coming after you, Nagler. 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 Nagler.
Packer transplants and Newcastle's with Nagler. Check out all our posts. Thank you so much. CheeseheadTV.com, Newcastle's with Nagler. I'm Aaron Nagler. Thank you so much. Have a great day.